Our scripture for this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Connie. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your presence in our midst today, Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would take the word that has been spoken and will be spoken now, that it would truly be your words, that our hearts would be open to you, and that our lives would be transformed because your word is true and brings life. In Christ's name, we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, a new series on Colossians, and one of the things we talked about was how in our culture today, the authority of Jesus and who Jesus is being undermined. There's a lot of beliefs that are contrary to who the character of Jesus really is, and we need to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is, and that was not just happening back then, it was happening back in Paul's day or in biblical times as well. And so Paul addressed that, and one of the first things he brings up in Colossians is the preeminence of Christ, that Jesus is above all, and to understand that Jesus is God and fully human, and that he deserves all the glory and the honor and praise, and it's only through him that we are saved and that we have life. And so we need to lift him up on a high pedestal because many in our culture do not do that. And we need to be able to see him in that light. And when in those things are undermined, even when we call into question, and it's okay to call things into question, but when we are examining those things, that we don't just buy into a lesser thing because it has a good argument. but we see Jesus for who he is, and we seek to try to understand Jesus in all of his fullness. So it's really important that we understand that. I think the theme verse is, if I would say for Colossians, is this one that I have up on the screen. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery of Jesus, okay? Of who Jesus is and what he has done, which is Christ in who? You. The essence of the Christian faith is precisely that. It's not doctrine. It's not just a bunch of teachings. It's Christ in each of us. And that needs to be understood and manifested. And we need to be able to grow that relationship. That's what's at the foundation of faith. That's what's at the foundation of life. Today I want to continue on in talking about, am I having problems again with this? If you can move it forward. I want to read this verse. You heard it read just a moment ago. And look at those words that are especially not just highlighted, but bigger, okay? Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become the servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. This is Paul speaking. He is in jail. He's gone through a great deal of suffering. And he sees his life, and as he sees his life, he sees his life with a purpose of being, number one who will suffer, not just because for himself, but for the church. And that he, primarily, his main role is to be a servant to the church. And I believe when he says these words, he's not just saying, this is what I'm supposed to be about, but he's saying, this is what I'm modeling for you, that you need to be about in how you interact with one another. It's interesting, next slide. It's interesting when you are in the military, and I have just a small knowledge of that, so forgive me for those of you that have been in the military. You know far better than me these principles. I was doing some research as far as the commitment that, especially those that, I looked it up in the Army, the pledges that they make. There's 7 different pledges that they make. And it comes very clear when those, especially who are in combat, when they are fighting alongside of each other, that those individuals have their back. That they fight alongside of each other and they rely upon another one almost as like it's another appendage, like it's a part of who they are. Almost closer than a family. And so one of the things that they talk about is the, one of the first things, the pledges that they make, is for selfless service. Listen to this and put in context of what it means to be a servant of Jesus. But the welfare of the nation, the army, and your subordinates before your own. Selfless service is larger than just one person. In serving your country, you are doing your duty loyally without the thought of recognition or gain. The basic building block of selfless service is the commitment of each team member to go a little further, endure a little longer, and look a little closer to see how he or she can add to the effort. It's not about me. It's about each other. It's about part of the team. It's about the church to which you belong. So often, I think, in the Christian church, we become so focused on me and Jesus that we forget that we are part of a larger body and we have a commitment to the larger body to uphold them and strengthen them and encourage them. And that we are to use our gifts not just for our own well-being, our own satisfaction and fulfillment of life, but we are called to use our gifting, as you heard Rob say up here a few minutes ago, for the purpose of building each other up, of building up the body. Those in the army know that. When you join the army, you are part of a team, and you need to be selfless. And as you're in combat, your life is on the line because another person has your back, and you have another person's back. And you need to fulfill your role, not for you, but for the other. There is no exercise better for the heart than reaching down and lifting people up. Huh? It does something in us when we reach out beyond ourselves and seek to help out others, that we're not in it for ourselves. Next slide. Paul models for us. The call on each Christian is to be a servant to fellow believers to the point of being willing to suffer for one another. Paul models that. Why? Because he wants us to also engage in that process as well, as any good leader would do. One of the most powerful things I've read in recent years is about Brother Yuan. He's a pastor in China. Maybe you've read his book, The Heavenly Man. He had faced in persecution because of his faith. He had been electrocuted. He had starved. He had been beaten. He had needles shoved under his fingernails. He was thrown in a box that was 4 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 4 feet high, where he would stay indefinitely. The day after he was put in that mini cell, he felt prompted to pray for a Bible. Now you'd say, that seems like a ridiculous idea, right? Why wouldn't he pray for his release? He prayed anyway. And the guards threw a Bible into his cell. The next morning, he wrote in his journal, I knelt down and wept, thanking the Lord for this great gift. I could scarcely believe my dream had come true. No prisoner was ever allowed to have a Bible or any Christian literature. Yet strangely, God provided a Bible for me. Through this incident, the Lord showed me that regardless of men's evil plans for me, he has not forgotten me and was in control of my life. Then interesting, would each of us pray the same thing? We would probably not be so thankful, huh? We would probably still be mad at the Lord because we weren't released from that prison. But he says, thanks for the Bible, Lord. I wouldn't have had been even counted the Bible as an answered prayer since my main prayer, each of our main prayers would have been, Lord, release me. You see over and over again in people like Brother Yoon have a sense of what suffering really is about. It's really not about suffering. He didn't like suffering, but it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. The bad thing was doing something against his Lord. What he wanted was the focus to be upon Christ. Brother Yoon's case, he saw through answered prayer that God was allowing him to grow spiritually through his suffering and minister to his captors. That's what he saw as his purpose. Even though he was being tortured, even though he was confined to this small space, he didn't complain about that. He saw the need of those around him to minister to them. Suffering, in a sense, became irrelevant for him. It was to minister was his highest goal. How about you? How about me? I can be honest with myself and realize, you know, oftentimes of life, I realize I want to go about life, what's in it for me. I complain about what I'm going through, what suffering that I'm experiencing. And I have to confess that my focus isn't always about the other. Let's move on to the next slide. Paul goes on, he says, I have become its servant by the commission of God, gave me a present to you by the word of God in its fullness. Again, look at the yellow that's there. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, to whom God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's the goal. To this end, I strenuously contend in all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and those at Laodicea and for all who have not yet met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom is hidden all the knowledge, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What was the mission? There was a mission. Next slide, please. A soldier's creed. When they go through a bunch of these different things. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. And listen to this. I will always place the mission first, not my personal agenda, not my personal needs. The mission is first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. The mission is the focal point. Next slide. Again, one of the values that they proclaim. Treat people as they should be treated. In the soldier's code, we pledge to treat others with dignity and respect while expecting others to do the same. Respect is what allows us to appreciate the best in other people. Respect is trusting that all people have done their jobs and fulfilled their duty. And self-respect is a vital ingredient with the Army value of respect, which results from knowing you have put forth your best effort. The Army is one team, and each one of us has something to contribute. There's a focus on the mission. And each individual is called to the team to accomplish that mission. Next slide. Paul tells us the mission. This is for each of us. We are called to do this, is to proclaim the word of God to God's people and to non-believers, and to seek to help all to come to maturity in Jesus. In a sense, to help each other grow, not just that people would come to know Jesus, but help each other, spur each other on, love each other, encourage each other in the faith. That's the goal. That's what we are about as this team. Those two things, to proclaim the message, to tell the message in word and deed, and to help each other grow up so that we would come to maturity in Jesus. That's the goal. That's the mission. In the 1960s, I was growing up in Hong Kong. The Cultural Revolution was going on in China in 1967. It started. I was 3 years old. Again, you can do the math. I don't specifically remember those days, but I was told stories about what happened during those days in the church in Hong Kong. The church was in a dilemma because Westerners it was a very insecure time for those that were from the West, because there was upheaval in China, and there was rumors that the Red Guard was going to come across the border into Hong Kong and to take over Hong Kong. There were rations of water. They had cut off our main water supply in from China, which supplied a lot of the colonies, Hong Kong's needs. There were Westerners that were considered evil, and they were called Gwailos, foreign devils. Many in certain areas, you went in those certain areas, and if you were a Westerner, you could be hung. There were different times I was told stories of how we would travel, and my dad would have to put a stocking cap or a nylon mask over his head, and we'd have to lie down in back of the station wagon that we had, so that they would not be seen. We had water every fourth day for 4 hours. So you had to fill up bathtubs, you had to do everything just to get water to be able to live on. And so the mission was in a dilemma. Should we leave? Should we maybe send our spouses maybe over to Taiwan or back to the States for their safety? Or maybe we should leave as well. And as they were talking about this, they came to the conclusion that they needed to stay for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the people that they were witnessing to. Because they realized that if once this blew over, this incident, this time, that if they had left, their witness would be compromised. And so they stayed for the sake of the mission. One of the main mission things that they did was there was people that had problems getting jobs, and they needed jobs, and so they provided nursery care to these kids, because a lot of times the mothers had to work as well, and they would chain or handcuff their kids to the bed so that they could go out and work and make money. And so they provided child care, and schools arose from that. And when they stayed, there was a great witness. The church exploded after that because they had stuck true to the mission, to their call. Paul goes on. Next slide. He says, I tell you this so that no one would deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit. delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Next slide. Another pledge in the army, pledges that they make is about personal courage. They say this: face fear, danger, or adversity, physical or moral. Personal courage has long been associated with our army. With physical courage, it is a matter of enduring physical duress at the times of risking personal safety. Facing moral fear or adversity may be as long, slow process of continuing forward on the right path, especially if taking those actions is not popular with others. You can build your personal courage by daily standing up for and acting upon the things that you know are honorable. Same is true, is it not, for our Christian faith. As we march forward, as we stand for Christ, there will be persecution. We stand for who Jesus is and what he stands for. Persecution will and has come. And as you stand on those principles, as you march forward in the mission, and you together, as we work together in the body of Christ, encouraging one another and spurring each other on, there will be adversities that come. There will be persecution that comes. There will be things that you have to face. You go, should I compromise or shouldn't I? Be easier if I did. I'm going to move on to the next slide. These are things we need to be on guard about, Paul says. We are to not deceived by deceptive arguments. Similar to what I preached about last week, about certain things about Jesus that aren't necessarily his character. Or certain things that would maybe go against our faith, huh? But we know we need to stand true to those things. To stay disciplined and firm in our relationship with who? With Jesus. And we should add also with one another. Because we make a commitment when we join the body, when we become a Christian. Make a commitment to Christ, but we also make a commitment to his body. We are team members. We are his family. Next slide. There was 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. And I kind of threw this in there because tomorrow my family and I are going for a couple weeks and we're traveling. You can pray for us in this because we're going in a road trek. It's not a very big vehicle, 6 of us. Doing a lot of camping, heading out to New York to see my sister, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. So when I tell this story, this kind of resonated with me. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold suffering for themselves and their families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 had sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from their wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships sunk by the British Army. He sold his home and properties to pay his debt and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British general Cornwallis had taken over Tom Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quickly ordered General George Washington open fire on the Nelson home. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mill were destroyed. For a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. Sometimes when we look at the mission, when we look at what God has called us to, this could be, this higher calling that he's called us to, there's suffering involved. We don't like it. But in this mission, we're called to stay true. We're called to be disciplined, not for the sake of being legalistic or because we're right, but for the sake of who? Of Christ. And for the sake of one another. So when we look at becoming part of charity and we're engaging in how do we be part of this team, how can I utilize my gifts, not for the benefit and fulfillment of myself, but how can I benefit Christ? For it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can I use the gifts that I have been given and be built up in faith and equipped to be able to minister to one another and also to minister to those who do not yet know Jesus? That's what we are about. That's what we are called to do. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence with us here today. I thank you that you have called us to be part of a team, your team. You are the leader of that team. You have laid down your life for your team, for your family, for your church, for your body. And you have called us to a mission. And that mission isn't always easy. It isn't about ourselves. It's really a selfless thing as we surrender to you. It is to build up our brothers and sisters that we see around us. It is to win others to you and to build them up as well. Father, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us the strength, the endurance, the perseverance as we join together in your body to be the team, to be the body that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise to receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord empower you to be part of that team, to endure, to know the power of the Holy Spirit upon you, to be willing to lay down your life for Christ and for your teammates that are here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.